B-Pod Studios.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yes, may I speak at the disc jockey, please?
Ma'am, I believe you're speaking with the disc jockey.
Yes, this is Miss Sarita Williams calling.
Yes, hi, Sarita, how are you? I haven't heard from you in a while. Glad to eat up my valuable time right now talking to you. Well, what can I do for you?
I think you're going to want to hear what I say because it could be beneficial to all parties concerned.
And what's that?
It seemed to me that I had heard you recently talking about that you was interested in some elective cosmetic procedure.
Elective cosmetic? What are you talking about, the Botox stuff?
Uh-huh.
I had said that because a lot of people are throwing these Botox parties now where they actually inject the stuff into your face and kind of like take away the wrinkles and all that.
Uh-huh.
I was inquiring about it. If somebody wanted to come in and do a Botox party in here, I'd give it a shot.
Well, you know that I am very fond of Sister Veronica Shoemaker.
Yes, you are.
And you know what she always say?
Something about looking pretty. How does that go?
When you feel pretty, you are pretty.
Right, right. So, are you throwing a Botox party?
No, I'm not, sir.
Oh, man.
But I have looked into this, and I will tell you that it is very cost prohibitive.
How so?
It's very expensive.
Well, what do you mean? Yeah, of course.
Because I had not heard of this until you brought it up.
And you went and inquired about it because you thought maybe you'd like to throw a Botox party or have some Botox put into your face.
Well, that's what I was thinking, is that perhaps it would...
Why do you want that?
Because...
Why? Do you feel that age is catching up with you?
When you feel pretty, you are pretty.
But aren't you a pretty woman now? Aren't you a beautiful,
yes,
large woman?
Sir,
ma'am?
I just would like to improve myself.
Improve yourself.
And you had brought up that you was interested in it.
I'm not that interested in it.
That,
I brought it up as a topic of conversation.
That if a doctor would be willing to do it,
mm-hmm.
then you would go ahead and get the Botox.
Botox. Not Botox, Botox.
But you said you was interested in Botox.
Botox, ma'am.
Sir.
And there's huge newspaper articles on this. And I, half serious, half joking, just to bring up conversation, said, doctor wants to come in here with some Botox, we'll throw a Botox party.
Well.
What, do you want to be invited to it, Sarita?
Well, no, sir.
Ma'am?
Evidently, you lack the motivation to get things done on your own.
Why, have you got it all set up?
I have located a doctor who is a specialized.
A specialist.
Botox.
A specialist?
Specialized in the Botox.
Botox.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You've located the doctor.
He's a very nice man.
Uh-huh.
And he said that he would do us both for free. If you would mention his name on the air, he said he would do both of us with the Botox.
Hold on a second. Why, first of all, why are you making radio deals? Why? Who gives you the right to make a radio?
I'm just trying to respect.
Hold it.
I'm just trying to respect your wishes, sir.
Ma'am, did you go to this doctor and say that you could do this for him? Obviously, if my name came up and mention of his, practice on the air, you went and talked to this guy like you're some kind of employee here, didn't you?
I never did represent myself as an employee. I just said that you
community
and I
activist.
Said that you and I was friends.
Friends, you don't like me.
That's beside the point, sir.
You say that that Haney and I perpetuate hate radio and
that
our racist
true,
comments.
That is absolutely true. You're about the lowest of the low.
But yet you will go and tell a doctor that we're friends to include you into what?
I'm simply trying to make it a win-win situation
for
everybody
for you?
Involved. I I win, you win.
I don't necessarily want it.
And Dr. Pincus wins.
Oh, Dr. Pincus. Oh, so we got to, did you promise him that you'd call the show and sneak his name in, too? Is that part of the deal? Maybe you want to go and lay out his address and telephone number while
I thought that you was interested in the blowjob.
You weren't thinking about me in this show, and it's Botox, by the way, lady.
Are you trying to screw this deal up?
Oh, it's a deal now.
Because I worked very hard to put this together.
Oh, how long you been working to put this deal together, Sarita?
About 3 weeks.
3 weeks you've been doing this.
And now I got him in the palm of my hand.
I want you, first of all, you've been coming and calling this program for a lot of years. Why, I don't know. Because you just you've complained to management about us, you've complained to community groups about us, and now you're trying to go and represent, ma'am.
Are you even interested in talking to Dr. Pincus and seeing what he has to offer?
No, I'm not.
Because I'm at his office right now.
You're at his office now?
I could put him on the phone and this deal could be done and I could have Botox within about 15 minutes.
Oh, so you're going to get the Botox right now?
I could get the Botox in 15 minutes if you just simply talk to the man.
So you would you like me to talk to him so that you can get this done?
Stan, all you have to do is just tell him what he wants to hear.
All right, put him on.
I would consider it a personal favor.
And then what do I get out of the deal?
You can get the Botox.
I don't want it.
But then...
Put the doctor on.
Okay, hold on.
Put the doctor on.
Hold on. And you be cool.
Don't worry about me.
Is this Dr. Pincus?
Doctor?
Yes.
Is there
you must be Stan.
Yes.
Yes, Sarita's been telling me that you have a radio program.
Yes, I do have
you're
a radio program,
in,
Doctor.
You're interested in doing some trade for the Botox.
It's Botox, isn't it, Doctor?
Yes, so you're interested in Botox.
Botox, and no, I'm not. I'm not in the position to trade out anything.
I think you're going to change your mind, because once we get through and we start the initial session, I think you're going to be very, very pleased with the results.
No, Doctor? Doctor.
Yes, Dan.
It has Miss Sarita Williams, who's in your office right now.
She is readying herself for her first Botox treatment.
Under the belief that we'll talk about it on the air. That way it's free for her.
Yes, that was what she, if she had referred to it as making a trade.
No.
Then that works out fine for me, because I want people to know what a wonderful, wonderful...
I can't do that, Doctor.
...breakthrough that Botox is.
Botox. I can't do that, Doctor. If she's,
well, of course you can. Don't be shy.
Doctor,
you know what? Everybody has a deep, natural, innate desire where they want to improve their appearance, and that's what I'm doing here. And that's what I'm all about, is helping people. And we're going to help you too, Stan.
I don't want
we're going to help Ms. Williams, and everyone is going to feel the better.
I don't want you to help me. And remember, Doctor, this isn't TV, so nobody can look at Ms. Williams.
Don't be frightened. It only hurts a little bit. You just feel a little bit of pressure, and I think you're really going to enjoy as we go on and further this treatment. It's about once every 6 weeks.
Doctor.
And, of course, not going to cost you a dime, but it's also very reasonable for your listeners. What
Doctor.
We do is we start out with the Botox, and it's over about every 6 weeks. We will go in and we will do a series of hot beef injections.
What? Botox? Not, Doctor.
So it's wonderful, because I'm about to give Ms. Williams her
first
treatment.
Don't do it. Don't do it unless she pays you for it.
Well,
there's nothing for free.
Well, she says this is already a done deal, and she said you might be a little bit hesitant.
No,
but,
doctor.
I'll tell you what, I need to go and wash up, because I'm about to start the Botox procedure and give Miss Williams her first hot beef injection today. And so I'm going to let you talk to her while I go and get ready, okay? It's been a pleasure talking to you, and you can call my office anytime, any appointment, any time of day. This
meeting
for you is good for me. So,
goodbye, Doctor.
Miss Williams, and it's a pleasure speaking to you and doing business with you.
Goodbye. Sarita.
Yeah.
You are not leaving that office and getting a Botox free of charge. And you know he's saying he's
going to... I'm getting the Botox, and I'm getting my first hot beef injection today.
Yeah, and you know what a hot beef injection is?
It has something to do with the Botox.
No, it doesn't. Get ready, because this man has every intention of, molesting you in the office. Make sure there's a nurse nearby.
Sir.
Ma'am?
don't be crass.
And
with me.
And I'm going to tell you
just
right
because
now.
Because you're jealous, because this is a done deal. I'm getting the Botox and I'm getting my hot beef injection right now. I can't wait.
Don't you better pay for it because I'm not. Nor is this radio station.
Well, it's already taken care of as far as he's concerned.
Goodbye,
I get
Serena.
At least one treatment out of it. Yeah. Now, I got to go because I'm about to do the Botox and get the hot beef injection right now.
Yeah, goodbye.
Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Was once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Of Beasley Broadcast. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, the Tuesday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Good afternoon to you. Thought I'd do that. Makes it sound like I'm in a good mood.
That was almost like your country, Stan.
Almost country. Yeah. Country music. Okay.
I am so sorry that you missed out on that part of your career.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing you didn't get to do was country. To be a country disc jockey.
Country gentleman.
Yep.
Yeah, the old Texas troubadour.
I got to do it at a fun time.
Yeah, you did.
I did it at a fun time when a little firecracker by the name of Reba McEntire was making her first record.
Oh, Miss Tanya Tucker in her prime.
Well, she wasn't in her prime even then.
Oh, was she? Now, wait a second. I want to get this straight because we had her on the way back yesterday. She actually was charting on the pop hits. And I want it.
And what year was that?
This 1970. What was that? 75. Now, wait a second. She broke on to the country scene in, I want to say, the early part of the 70s as a 15-year-old little pixie, everybody's darling.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at her today, she's been ridden hard and put up wet. What year did you meet Tanya Tucker? Because she went through that whole phase, got involved with the booze and the drugs and the Glen Campbell and the wild, crazy nights and, you know, passed around and then the downfall where she's just a walking mess.
Well, in fairness to her, and boy, don't I know it, when you make it as a prodigy.
A country sweetheart?
Like I did. Because I made it at 15 as well.
Yeah.
You are viewed to age very rapidly.
She aged rapidly.
Because when you become famous at 15, yeah, by the time you're in your 20s, you look old compared to what people remember.
Hold on. Well, she wasn't in her 20s.
Well, when it would have been somewhere between 84 and 87.
Did she look like this?
No. But she
so
was
between 84 and 87 is when you saw her?
I never saw her.
I thought you said that she was, you know, you had a run-in with her.
I did. What happened is she was playing a show at the County Line Saloon.
1972, by the way, at the age of 13.
And I was in the same anchor chair that I would later occupy when you covered the mass shooting in Palm Bay.
Yeah.
Very same chair. We had a remote for the show at the County Line Saloon, and I think they could only get like a part-timer or somebody to go out there, and so they were gonna.
They did a call-in?
Well, I think we had two people out there. One of them a part-timer who was scared of the radio, and the other one was the country rich man.
Yeah.
And he liked to drink Johnny Walker, and he'd already started. And so what happened is, I think he was supposed to interview Tanya Tucker, and what he ended up doing was just handing her the phone and letting her talk to me. And so, from her perspective, she's standing there. This guy, country rich man, was about 6'3", sweaty. You know, boozed up, and she's on the phone with me, and she's very flirtatious with me.
Here.
So I was not in her presence, but I ended up doing the interview with her, and she was very insistent that I could come out and see the show, and then we'd chat some more in her bus.
Oh, there she is when she was just a child.
And she was all giggly. And I go to end the interview, and she goes, "If you think I'm kidding, darling, you got another thing coming.
Yeah.
You got a sexy voice."
Yeah, but you left?
I just went
home.
Or
didn't go down there? Yeah. For the best. She,
you know, traffic and all.
Yeah. She's just, well, she's 60 now.
She was nothing but nice to me.
That's all you can ask for. That's there. He's... Yeah.
That Georgia sun was blood red and going down, I'll tell you.
I gotta,
People still loved her then.
Oh, let me...
I got requests for Tanya Tucker all
legend,
the time.
Without a doubt, a country legend. And she had her hit with that, Delta Dawn was her breakthrough.
Well, Helen Reddy had it, and she had the countryside of it.
And then she and Glen Campbell were an item, a volatile couple for several years. A lot of incidences at hotels and you know, breaking of things and
breaking
cops
of things,
and
yeah,
being locked out of hotel rooms and a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, when you got country hits and you're in the tabloids,
yeah.
Oh boy, you've got it going
on.
Yeah,
that's called country magic.
Is that what that's called?
No, I just it's country magic.
What kind of magic?
Country magic.
There we go.
All right.
I still live in Big Y country sometimes.
Big Y country.
You remember Big Y
I
country?
I sure do.
Found out about that right before everybody got fired.
Yeah.
This?
The new regime was coming in.
I don't know what version this is.
All right, what do you got?
But this was this. Oh, yeah, this is a later live version. But this was the song, beyond all of her other hits, that they requested every day.
Yeah. That's right, baby.
Daddy said, now come, girl, we headed down the road to Augusta.
Oh, country rasp to her voice.
Deep, they called Mama's name.
It's because she smoked and drank whiskey. At 13.
He said, girl, you're young, but some dude has come along and stole your mother. Oh, but you can't steal a willing mind, cause mama's always looking for a lover.
That Georgia sun was blood red going down.
I should have learned to play the country steel guitar.
Oh, I bet you'd be great at it.
I would be. Best with it if I was on camera, because I'd look up and give that fake smile as I was playing.
Now that one, how are you with your right hand?
My right hand's good.
With a pedal steel,
yeah,
you'd be picking with your right hand,
yeah,
and in your left hand,
yeah,
you wouldn't have to do much. You'd just be moving a slide.
Yeah.
So it's all on your right hand.
Like a bud bottle?
Yeah. But it's usually not. It's a big piece of metal.
Yeah, I know.
And you just slide it
it's
up and down.
The piece, yeah.
And then that way, you're just picking the strings.
Yeah.
The note is coming from the slide,
right?
But you're picking with your right hand.
Yeah.
In what order?
In what order?
So I would say
from 1 through 6, right?
Yeah, I would say it's probably a little more friendly to your percussive talents.
Right. I'd like to try it.
I think you might be able to do that. Because anytime when it's a guitar or a bass, your left hand's always awkward.
Yeah.
And when you're doing a slide like that on a pedal steel,
yeah,
you're not asking your left hand to do the work. It's your right hand.
Let's try that one night.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in. We'll take a break. I'm going to give you fair warning ahead of time, and I got the reason when we come back. I did not watch Deadwood last night.
Oh, fuck.
We'll be back.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots in law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. In about 1 hour, we will be joined by attorney Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law. He's a lawyer, attorney, esquire, and he comes in once a week for you because not everybody can afford a lawyer or don't know if they need a lawyer. So Mike's here to give you some legal advice. And past few weeks, it's been this. I tell people when to call in. You can text us a question as well. And Mike finishes his segment and the texts and the phone calls are pouring in. You have a window, and it's in about 1 hour. If you'd like to text a question now to Mike, we'll save it and ask it to him. Or when he's on, when I say the phone lines are open, call in. Don't be afraid. There is no question too small to ask Mike, because if it's bothering you, you might need
however,
some
assistance. There are some too big.
Yeah,
but,
it's too big. Also, Stan's name that movie later on today. The films of James Earl Jones, not as Darth Vader.
Okay.
So leave Darth Vader out of it.
Why do you do that to yourself?
What do you mean?
Because you know what every answer is going to be.
Yeah. What is that, Star Wars?
What is that, Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
Clone Wars?
No. No Star Wars, nothing. And that's coming up later on today.
Return of the Jedi, is it?
No.
Empire Strikes Back?
Nope, not it.
Yeah, you just set yourself up for these
things. I'm just telling everybody. There's no Darth Vader in this.
I was shocked today. It made the Daily Mail.
What?
You hear about this girl and her mother in Cape Coral?
What?
The mother had her stand out, I think it was on Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Stand on a median with a sign that said something like, I lied to my mom.
That away.
And to show how different the world is.
Yeah.
Comments were split between your comment.
Yeah.
Which was,
hey.
It was 89 degrees, that child could have been harmed.
I'd make sure she had water. Yeah, there's. I'm looking at the clip. A lot of concerned citizens. I call them a lot of Budinskis. The mother was. If I could only tell you what my parents made me do.
And I think that it is awesome to see that some people still discipline their children.
Yes.
But, of course, you've got people that mother should be thrown in jail.
Yes, do you know how hot it was?
And I'm thinking, as I read that, of course, I tuned out everything about the girl and the mother and everybody else and made it about me.
Yeah, of course. That's right.
Isn't that what we do when we read the news?
Yeah, make it about you.
And I thought, if they're worried about that street corner for a little bit, well, what about the times that I have been forced to stand not only on street corners, parking lots, on a beach with no and no water, nothing, and you're going to be here for 3 to 4 hours.
Yep. There's one that sticks in my mind above all.
The one where that band tried to play Clapton and couldn't do it? Yeah, well, that'll always stick in your mind.
I'm going to save it for 3 o'clock for people that don't know what Stan and Haney have been through. Okay.
And that's my biggest memory was being miserable and just very briefly pointing out, Stan, you see that?
Yeah.
They should have never attempted
that song. No, a bar band should never attempt that song.
No. And after that, we were both severely burned. And, everybody else is having a good time having their drinks, and they've got their umbrellas and all that stuff. But we had to be there, and we had to be there in street clothes, in proper attire.
K-Rock wear.
And we were out there all day.
Yeah.
And when I left there, I had to go straight to the hockey rink for the first time.
Yep. From hot to cold.
With my skin severely burned.
Yeah.
I walked onto the ice, got sand on it for the first time.
That can hurt a hockey player.
Yes, it can. And I explained, I said, are you sure you want? Yeah, just come by for a minute. Oh, geez, maybe you shouldn't have come by.
Yeah.
I'm here now.
I got to give us.
That was a nightmare of a day.
Give us a 15 minutes. Let me do the grab bag because
and they're worried about a girl holding a sign.
Yep, because it's warm.
Yeah.
She has headwear.
I'll tell you what, we were well past 89 that day.
Yes! Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. Oh.
There are hundreds of times I've been in situations worse than that. Nobody gave a rat's ass.
Nobody cared. You do as you're told.
Yep.
Speaking of kids, it is summer break, and
had it with your attitude.
That up, that's got our favorite gal a little worked up.
Oh, jeez.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 minute inside a woman's head.
This warm weather means only one thing. The brats next door have been unleashed on the neighborhood. Don't get me wrong, I love kids. But these aren't kids. They're more like Legion of the Damned. I swear when they all scream at once, it sounds like a dump truck driving through a plate glass window. And don't they ever bathe? Every one of them looks like they've been dipped in a mixture of chocolate and potting soil. They used to have grass in their yard. Now it's just mud and broken action figures. Yesterday, I actually saw one of them chewing on the fence. Oh, and thank God they have a trampoline. Please do not launch yourselves into traffic. Ugh, I swear that's the most horrible thought that's ever entered my head. I mean, someone in their car could get really hurt.
And that was another episode of 1 minute inside a woman's head.
Well, it's rare, but she's absolutely right.
She's absolutely correct.
There's something about that sound. Because you can't hear what they're saying.
Well, your ears are very damaged.
You know they're saying something. But little kids, for some reason, it doesn't take much to make them scream.
No.
At the top of their effing lungs.
Yeah. It's worse in a restaurant and you can't see where they're coming from. This is, you know what, I admire this guy. He's dumb, but I admire him. 19-year-old here in the state of Florida, the Florida area, got pulled over recently, then sped off before the cop was able to finish writing a traffic stop ticket. And an hour later, this 19-year-old punk called 911 to taunt them about it.
What?
He said he'd driven by four cops and wanted to know why they hadn't pulled him over. He assumed they had his license plate number, but the cops didn't.
You know what happens when you assume something.
The only reason he got caught is because he called in to taunt about it.
911. Yeah, I want to know. So, like, I like ran from a cop like 30 minutes to an hour ago. I was the guy over there off of Kings of State. Like, what do we pay you guys for? Like, I've driven past four cops.
What do you mean you ran from a cop?
I mean, he turned his lights on me and got behind me, and as he was walking up to my door, I did a donut around him and left.
Okay. So you want to now see the officer, or what is your question?
My question is, I'm assuming he put an APD out or has someone looking for my car. But, like, he definitely got the plate number. But
okay.
Like, I passed, like, four cops just driving around. Like, what are you guys doing?
Well, we're working on a mini call, sir.
Had he not called.
What is his problem?
Was taunting him. Showboating.
What does he get out of that?
I don't know.
You know what you do? If you must, call an a-hole buddy.
Yeah.
Brag to them.
Yeah.
Now, they will probably turn you in if they can figure out an advantage from it.
Right.
But the best thing to do when you get away with something you shouldn't have, shut the F up. Say thank you, Jesus, and just move on.
Yep. Baltimore is one of the worst-run cities in the country.
And do you know something else about Baltimore?
What?
It is one of the worst-run cities in the country. And for, I think, the past 6 weeks, they have been under heavy cyber attack. To the point that to do real estate transactions, you have to go to one specific building where you could do it all online before. You have to go to one specific building in beautiful downtown Baltimore.
That's what I'm talking about, downtown.
Where you could be selling $1 million property, but the city will write you an IOU until their computers get fixed. The Baltimore city staff can't figure out what to do. They went to the state. The state's experts don't know what to do. They brought in the feds, and the feds said, we can't fix this.
Mm.
But they won't pay the ransom.
Well, I'm talking about downtown, inner city Balmer, where the mayor, who can't control things, was at an event to stop gun violence.
Oh, jeez. your city is it's digitally on fire,
yep.
And you're doing nonsense events.
Well, you want to talk about nonsense? Here was the mayor's view on how to stop violence. Never mind the computer. Stop violence. He had a brilliant idea. This is a mayor of a major city that's going down the tubes.
We can find other means to settle our disputes. You know, there's mediation. If they want to really settle them, we can have them down at the Civic Center, put a boxing ring up, and let them go and box it out. Those kind of things, you know. And the best man win, and the beast should be over.
That guy, I think, is like third or fourth in line, because I know at least one mayor has resigned
recently.
Oh, yeah,
it's a mess.
And you know what? There's no reason for it. Baltimore is sitting there right next to D.C.
Yeah.
Virginia is like the richest place in the world. Yep. And there's no reason for Baltimore to be that way.
Stupid is as stupid does. Dateline, Texas. Place the Walmarts.
Plural.
The Walmarts. Yep, this weekend I went to the Barnes and Nobles.
Oh, okay.
And stopped off at the Walmarts. Dateline, Texas. A mom wanted to get a graduation cake for her daughter and her high school graduation. She saw a pretty cake and wanted special writing put on it with the icing and all that stuff. The only thing is, the mom and the person working at the Walmart didn't communicate with each other very well, nor did they check what they were selling. She got the display cake that was made out of not cake, but styrofoam.
You get a deal on that, do you?
And now she's mortified.
This is my baby, and she was graduating. So it was very important to me. I wanted it to be perfect.
It's mom's big day as well. It's not just mine.
They didn't have her order. They didn't have anything ready. There was a small blue one, which is her school color.
Yeah.
So I chose that one.
Yeah, take
and they said they'd put a couple of graduation things on
cake.
It and her picture.
Styrofoam.
I go to cut the cake and it was not budging.
I was in complete shock.
And they can't replace the moment that we lost.
Oh,
you know, it's
shit.
A special moment. And
come
this is
on.
What we got for it. It was a styrofoam cake.
You got what you paid for.
Boy, this cake's light and fluffy. So it's almost like cake floating on air.
Oh, it's so light.
Went and took the display cake. Do you think that those cakes look picture perfect days on end? They frost a chunk of styrofoam.
I saw that cake. I saw it last Monday. And I said, I've got to have it. And I came back. Thank God they hadn't sold it.
I know that you have it in your news because I have it here, but I wound up printing the whole list. There's a new survey, an international survey, on the top 50 amazing moments of the past 100 years. And coming in at number one for the world looking at this was the end of World War II. Here from our archives is President Harry S. Truman announcing the surrender of Germany and following that, the surrender of Japan. Number one internationally as the most significant event of the last 100 years.
This is a solemn but glorious hour. I wish that Franklin D. Roosevelt had lived to see this day. General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations. The flags of freedom fly all over Europe.
Received this afternoon a message from the Japanese government. General Douglas MacArthur has been appointed the Supreme Allied Commander to receive the Japanese surrender.
And if you'd let that man do his job.
Yep. Yeah, Truman fired him.
It's all over for James Holzhauer, and he did not break the Jeopardy record.
The line, "A great reckoning in a little room," in As You Like It, is usually taken to refer to this author's premature death. Over to James now. He had 23,400, and his response was, "Who is Marlowe? Christopher Marlowe?" You are correct, sir. His wager, a modest one for the first time, that takes him to 24,799. So, Emma, it's up to you. If you came up with a correct response, you're going to be the new Jeopardy champion. Did you? You did. What did you wager? Oh, gosh, 20,000. What a payday. 46,801.
There you go. I think he threw the game.
You mean got tired of it?
Yep. Yes.
Felt like he could make more money in the private sector?
Yep. Yep. Here's Alec Baldwin. He was doing an interview with GQ about being in the movie Beetlejuice and thinking very early in his career that this was going to ruin him. It was going to ruin him.
I had no idea what it was about. I thought maybe all of our careers are going to end with the release of this film. We're all going to be dead. But that's one of the earliest movies I made, and you see everything that's involved in making movies brought to bear on a movie like that.
Really, Alec? You were worried about Beetlejuice?
Yeah, he
was. Not your role as Joshua on Knott's Landing? Because I figured if anything was going to end your career, it would have been that.
Let's, I don't get this. Miley Cyrus is selling downloads of her new EP along with a condom.
Just stop it.
The condom has a phone number on it. 1-833-SHE-IS-MC. And when you call that number after getting your complimentary condom.
Oh, yeah.
You get this.
Hello, thanks for calling Miley's hotline. Press 1 if you're 18 years of age or older. If you're under 18, hang up. Bitch, you called just in time. You need more gratitude and less attitude. Repeat after me. Breathe in. Brrr. Breathe out. Brrr. Breathe in. Brrr. As long as you don't grab me by the tail. I said don't grab me by my 22-inch tail. Sam, are you in heat or what?
She is coming.
Out now. Your number and this call may be used for marketing purposes. This message is done in conjunction with a paid advertisement campaign. Nothing in it creates any relationship, contractual or otherwise, between us, nor does it entitle the listener to any discount, free products, or any other special treatment of gifts of any kind. No express or implied representations, guaranteed, or warranties of any kind remain in this message. Oh,
go ahead and leave me a voicemail.
Oh, I'll leave you. I'll leave you nut.
Oh, God.
Whack job nut. Jeez. Send. You know who I'll send over to talk to her? Miss Tanya Tucker. Send her over. Teach her what the business is like. You want to wind up like this? You want to wind up like this?
I think she does.
Yeah? She's on the road to it. Pewter Mug North bringing us a grab bag. We'll be back. Talk about why I didn't watch
Deadwood. She's not
Deadwood
that attractive. How is
no,
she getting away with this?
Well, because she's a Disney star.
Yeah. And so many of her fans are kids.
Yeah.
And then
that's why she's
condoms and
condom.
Yeah, if you're under 18,
hang on.
How about if you're under 18, don't buy my products?
Yeah. I didn't watch Deadwood.
You won't hear that.
I'll tell you why when we come.
Are you kidding me?
Look,
we have waited.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
A decade and a half.
I have to have time for this, and I got caught up into a bunch of lies last night.
Uh-oh. Didn't you fight me on Deadwood 2 when I told you it was a good show?
I think no, because I didn't know Deadwood existed. You bought me the first season.
Okay.
And yeah. I was hooked. And so when season 2 came out, I was watching it every week.
Okay, so I gave you the first season.
Yeah.
When you unwrapped that gift, did you think there was any way you'd watch it?
You said I had to at least watch the first episode.
And?
And I watched the first episode.
And?
I wound up watching the whole thing.
There you go. Why do you fight me all the time? 36
K-Rod. We, the management of Beasley Broadcasting, would like to thank Stan and Haney for their decades of dedication to this radio station. We'd like to, but we won't. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rod.
Everybody, Stan and Haney, Mike Chiannopoulos in about 25 minutes. Text us your question for Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law or call into the show in about 15, 20 minutes and we'll get you on the air with him. He'll help you with your legal situation.
Cannot believe you still haven't watched Deadwood.
Here's the reason. You know what? When you watch something, and I won't feel this way about Deadwood. But when you see something and you can't get back the time you lost. Oh, there went an hour. There went 2 hours of my life that I can't get back. Saw the previews for it. I don't know if it's on the Discovery Channel or one of those channels. And, it's the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11 this year, next month. Going to be the 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. So there are set for this year a lot of commemorating Apollo 11 as well as the conspiracy theories. So I saw it was on one of the cable channels. You know how they used to did these series Finding Hitler where they went all over the place?
Yeah.
Well, they're doing this. Did we go to the moon? And they're doing it in a series.
Seriously?
Like that. I am.
Did we go to the moon?
Yeah,
come on.
Hold on. So I saw the previews for this thing, which looked like they might have some smart people. And
I can't believe smart people would even sign on for
follow
that title.
Me on this. I had to shut it off. And it wasted a chunk of my night. I saw it. My DVR had captured it, I think, from Monday night or Sunday night. It consisted of, and I guess this was the season premiere of it. It's a short series because, like the other ones they do, they go on wild goose chases.
Mm-hmm.
They have a conspiracy theorist
who's one of the best in the world.
A guy that worked for the FBI for a whopping 4 years. I'm assuming he got kicked out. And they have a NASA astronaut who flew on three space shuttle missions and knows for a fact we landed on the moon. And so I'm watching this. And I'm watching these. They're all acting like know-it-alls. I worked for the FBI for more than 4 years, and I know that they doctor evidence, and I know that they will tell the public one thing when it's not. That's why I'm going to investigate this. And so they go to some obese radio guy who claims he's got declassified files, all this BS.
So it's like they're talking to a radio guy whose uncle drove the limousine that got both the Kennedys killed and that he runs government pot farms. Yeah.
Here's where they lost me. Here's where they completely lost me. And shame on the NASA astronaut, too, because he was credible up until he completely lost me. So the NASA astronaut is showing the conspiracy theorist and the former FBI guy the photos that came out about 5-10 years ago where you could see the actual landing spots on the moon and the rover marks. This isn't proof. Yes, it is. This was released for NASA can fake a lot of that stuff. And so I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. So they get ready to go to a commercial break. And they say, they have a clip of this old woman who was a reporter for CNN. And I saw that face and I knew today we're hiring Nazis. Nazis to go to the moon. And I'm going, what's going on now? And so they start going
back.
Well,
I mean, that part's true.
It's true. But they were acting like it. So they have them back at control center with a lot of maps and glass maps and weird lighting and all that stuff as the three of them are talking. And so the astronaut saying, I know what I know. I knew Neil Armstrong. I know Buzz Aldrin. I was next door neighbors to John Young. They're not lying about the fact that they went to the moon. And the FBI agent goes, well, do you know that we hired Nazis?
Oh my God,
there's the NASA astronaut. We did what? And they show some footage, which was already known by then, 1986.
It's common knowledge. It's
common knowledge. And they immediately start showing the black and white clips of Hitler giving his speeches and talk about how Werner von Braun was a part of Hitler's Nazi machine and the V2 and to go and destroy. I'm like, where's the question that we didn't land on the moon? You're telling me something that was well known. When World War II ended,
there's a little something called Operation Paperclip.
Yes, and they talked about that. And where they got the German scientists out. Because if we didn't take them...
And we didn't get them all.
And we didn't. If we didn't take them, the Russians would have gone and used them for far worse purposes. So yes, Werner von Braun was Hitler's main man in rocket design. He gave the Heil Hitler and all of that stuff, but we snatched him in Operation Paperclip. And these guys are going around, oh
like
my
it's new.
God, it is such a shame that NASA would do something like that. I had such
and
a
And this
belief.
Guy's an astronaut?
Yes! And the FBI guy, 4 years, what happened? Did he get booted out? Oh, yeah, this just goes to show you NASA was capable of anything, hiring Nazis to take us to the moon. I went and I said, that's it. I'm shutting this off, and I'm removing it from my DVR. This is a bunch of crud. The only thing, though, that...
Doesn't everybody know that?
The only thing... I thought everybody knew it. You know, you ever hear that, to the victor go the spoils?
Yeah.
And the leader in rocketry was the Germans.
We took the German war machine and turned it into science and exploration.
And then they started talking about all the Nazis that were running the space program from Huntsville, Alabama, and reporters going to the door. Were you a Nazi? It was like insane.
And for them, with the end of World War II, those Nazi scientists and engineers, they had to feel like they had the golden ticket.
Yep. If they went the other side, they'd be dead. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're smearing NASA and our voyage to the moon because you didn't know that the rocket engineers... came from Germany.
Well, that's your fault for not knowing your history.
And I'm like, I can't waste any more time with this.
You know
this.
What? I don't know that we could make it to the moon today with attitudes like that.
Nope. And here's the thing. You and I grew up in that era. They made a point in this special to talk about each and every year the percentage of people that believe we didn't go to the moon grows. That percentage is increasing.
So, if we faked the moon, does that mean that we faked Mars, too?
I didn't get that far. I couldn't watch it.
Do we even have a space program?
Oh, we do. Here, the fat radio disc jockey said that to the astronaut. He said, oh, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins, they did... leave Earth in that rocket. And they parked him up in orbit for 2 weeks, and then they did all the theatrics about it and landed him. There you go. You see the capsule splashing back down. They were just in low Earth orbit for a couple of weeks. I've got the documentations right here that NASA was fooling us.
Well, the documentation is that he hired Nazis.
Yes. A man by the name of Werner von Braun. And they talked to the old CNN reporter. She's an old lady, got Alzheimer's now. And I was going through the files. I was looking at the files. And I recognized that face. Nazi. Nazi. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me? I said, I got to shut it off. I thought this would be some kind of intelligent special. But they're all like, oh, my God. Even the astronaut. What? You're kidding me. I can't handle it.
Life is messy.
Yes, it is.
Life is dirty.
Unbelievable.
And with an attitude like that, we can't do anything.
No. Oh, you don't think for a second. Where is the proof, gentlemen? Where is the proof? Show me any kind of document that we actually sent a man to the moon. Do you know in the 1950s, before there was even a NASA, they wanted to go and build mysterious space bases up there? Yeah?
Well, we're building one now.
Unbelievable.
You know about that, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, so we can go to Mars.
Well, they're... I guess they've already put it out to bid in SpaceX and all the different... companies, I guess they've already awarded some contracts, but the idea is that they're going to have a series of launches to the moon where those rockets will deploy equipment for a future manned mission.
Yep.
So, with the idea...
They use it as a base to go to Mars and use a heck of a lot less fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Mike,
now, what? That could be made up.
Yeah. Well, where's the proof?
Why are people so eager to believe just anti-American BS?
What was bothering me is that they were putting out this show as a factual documentary about did we land on the moon, but they play a shell game. They'll go on a different topic and hit a hot word, Nazi, Hitler, and take you completely off the subject. We went to the moon. I can't. Mike Chiannopoulos is next. You want to talk to Mike?
That is, and you didn't watch Deadwood.
For that.
2779600. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Mike Chiannopoulos next. He's an attorney. He's here to help.
You know what? Wasted your time with that when you could have been getting the wit and wisdom of Al Swearingen.
I will tonight. Stan and Haney.
Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
Then why don't you go pound some sand up your ass, you boob, yeah?
Stan and Haney
on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. But right now, in studio with us, Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law. He's a lawyer, attorney, Esquire. You ever sign your name Esquire? Mike Chiannopoulos, Esquire.
Esquire. No, I should try. I wonder how that would
sound. You're allowed. I mean, you would.
Storm Chiannopoulos Esquire.
Why do you keep doing that again?
All right, which would you rather, that or the Jizya?
No. What do you want, a tough name or something? Is that it?
Storm Chiannopoulos. Doesn't it just project strength, Haney?
No.
No.
It doesn't.
No.
Something like Buck.
Yeah. Buck Chiannopoulos.
Buck Chiannopoulos. The buck stops here.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, maybe we got something going on.
Before we get to our texts and callers, by the way, you can call us. We have a line open, 277-9600. I know you want to do a shout-out.
You know, I do, to the Lee County Sheriff's Office. Those guys work tirelessly. And
yes,
listen,
they do.
I do a lot of domestic violence prevention and all of that stuff. These guys... jumped through hoops, did everything that needed to be done to get this stuff served, to keep these citizens safe. And the flip side of that is to keep another citizen from a situation where he or she might end up in jail. They just did a great job, and sometimes we don't recognize that.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for doing that.
You don't get recognized when it's diffused and done right.
Yeah. Doesn't only when paper. It's done wrong.
Yeah. Only when somebody does something that you couldn't have stopped and then you get blamed for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 277-9600. Do we have his singing music where he can sing a little tune for us?
I'll warm up.
Well, man. Does a bear
in the woods?
Mostly by stream.
Yeah.
Flushing it. Oh, they away. Like that.
Yeah. Freshen it up.
It's just instinct. Hey, I should go by a stream. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's better that way.
Yeah, I'll wait till I get to the stream.
I just haven't seen the Charmin commercial. Don't care what it is. You need a hand, I can assure you this. I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help with your DUI, your divorce, child custody, domestic violence prevention. Yep. That's just on my list this week, man.
277-9600. I want to go to the phone call we have online right now, then I'll get to some texts. But James from Lehigh was the VA, a veteran that called us last week, and he wanted to come back on the line. James, you're on with Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, James,
we
what do you got
we remember you from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike told me to go and get a patient advocate guy.
Right.
So I went there, and he said he couldn't do anything for me. He left the room a couple times, come back in, and was real nervous. And he says, who do I see? He said, you could probably go to Bay Pines. They might help you. I can't help you here.
Yeah, I don't know why, and so I'm probably going to have to talk to you about off the air because I'm going to have to ask you
that
a bunch of
questions.
Isn't
right, is it?
No, you know, unless there's some glitch somewhere in the paperwork. So you and I are going to have to work that out off the air. Call my office, 239-ASK-MIKE, 239-275-6453. And just tell them that you need a telephone appointment with me, and you and I will talk about this off the air and sort it out, and I'll see what I can do to help
All
you.
Right, James.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I'm at my wit's end. I need a little help.
I know, and it sounds like you do, and Mike's the man to do it.
Knows his way around that. We'll
see what I can do to get you going in the right direction, James. I look forward to speaking with you.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
You bet.
I remember him from last week, and I felt bad about him. He needs to get some assistance, and I don't know if he needs some help doing it or have somebody go with him to do it. Or
sounds like
maybe
it.
You can actually do something with him, Mike.
Sounds like they start throwing all those paperwork, forms, terms, medical stuff at him, and it's
he
just
gets
too
confused.
Much. Yeah, right.
277-9600 if you want to talk to Mike Chiannopoulos.
Well, you need forms. I don't know what you mean by that.
Oh, well, then we can't help you.
I need help.
Well, yeah. No, we can't help you. You don't have that form? What's wrong with you?
I don't even know what that form is.
My arm's coming off.
Yep.
From the Absolute Law text line, a question for Mike. This is interesting. Can the police pull you over and take it to you when they are parked on private property? I was ticketed at a speed trap that was set up in the parking lot of my own church where they were not even given permission to park. Can I fight that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, there's no precedence that I know of addressing that, but it is an interesting question. What makes it most interesting, though, is not that it was private property, but that it was a church property, therefore it was likely held by a not-for-profit, a 501c3, and used for a religious purpose.
Right.
Now, that might make a really interesting position.
In the church parking lot.
Not so much private property, but the fact that it was a religious property. Interesting.
All right.
I would, you know, if you want to make a constitutional fight out of that, you probably got a chance.
There you go.
Now, you say you got a chance. How long would that take to work its way through the system?
Well, I mean, I would think that wouldn't go much further than the state appellate system, so a couple of years, three at the most. Now, if you're talking about going to the United States Supreme Court, you know, 15 years.
Yeah. Here's Evan.
And $1 million.
Yeah. on line one. Evan, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hello. Ahoy, everybody.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. What do you got for us today?
I'll try to make it short. Basically, my mother-in-law lives in an apartment building in Cape Coral. And over the weekend, well, they've been working on the roof, but all the tenants still were living in the building while they were working on the roof. The roofers made a mistake. The ceiling collapsed in all the upstairs apartments. It kind of flooded everything out. What course of action do the tenants have, either to get rent reimbursed or moving expenses reimbursed?
Well, yeah, they're going to have to get all that. Obviously, they can't stay in a dwelling that's unsafe like that. It's a no-brainer. So the landlord, either through their local management office or themselves, should help these people find alternative housing, provide them moving costs. If they can't find housing, let's say they were paying $1,400 a month there, and you can't find anything for under $1,600 a month, then at least for a few months, they're going to have to be paid that $200 a month difference, et cetera. So, they just need to go down to the management office and tell them we want the insurance information to make a claim. If they won't give it to them and they start, pulling their chain, then just tell them to call me at 239-ASK-MIKE.
All right.
Well, that's pretty much what happened. It's, a privately owned building. He's not being very forthcoming with information.
Right. So, yeah, what's going to have to happen is just give them my number, 239, here the local area code, and ask Mike. And I'll talk to him. We'll get everybody together at one time, and I'll give them a free consultation and say, here's what I think your options are. And, if you guys want to proceed, great with me. If you don't want to, well, it's okay. You owe me nothing for just kind of helping tell what the circumstances are.
All right.
All right.
There you go,
thank
buddy.
Thank you very much, Mike.
There you go, Evan. 277-9600 if you want to talk to Mike Chiannopoulos, or you can go on the Absolute Law text line. Obviously, phone calls take priority, but we will get to some of your texts as well.
Mike, quick conceptual question. Off the top of your head, in a percentage, what percentage of our laws are unconstitutional and just haven't been challenged?
Yeah. I don't even have a swag for that. I've encountered several laws that I believe to be unconstitutional in at least two in the family law realm, but it doesn't make a significant enough difference or damage that anybody wants to spend the money litigating it, right? You don't spend all this money, you're not going to be directly benefited. I suppose the country will be and the Constitution will be, but I don't have $50,000 for that. I don't think anybody
does. The answer is we don't know.
Right.
We know they're out there.
Yeah, I mean,
so it would take like an advocacy group to do that kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. Even to just tally the number of laws that are likely unconstitutional is in a large undertaking that would require some sort of advocacy group.
The law can be an amazing thing, and it's like when I see what Judicial Watch has been able to accomplish with their Freedom of Information Act request, information that would never, ever be out there if they didn't sue for it.
Yeah, and I mean, I could tell you some stories like that that would curl your toes. But the flip side of that is that's probably only about a small percentage of the system. The rest of the system is honest and actually works right. So do we need to keep going out there and uncovering the parts that don't? Yeah, sure, to keep the system honest. But I don't want people to think that this is the vast majority of the system, because the vast majority of the system functions as intended.
But, Mike, no
I'm not saying it's great. I says function as intended.
No
that's
big
a nice
deal until
there.
It happens to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's Jeremy.
Doesn't matter until it's your kid.
Here's Jeremy, line two. Jeremy, thanks for holding. You're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hi, Mike. I've got a quick question. Actually, it's a little crazy. I'm trying to relocate to Maryland. I'm a full custodial parent. My ex-wife has not been active in my son's life for about 7 years, and currently has warrants. And I petitioned the court to relocate, and I have a job of a lifetime waiting for me, and I also secured a residence. My question is, if I leave, I know I have 60 days to be out of state before I'm in trouble, but if I petition the court, am I going to have an open warrant if I, stay up there? I've also told him I can return for a hearing. I'm not sure where I stand on this, and I'm a little afraid.
Guy's trying to do things right.
Yeah, and just speaking about systematic issues, doesn't want the system to hose him.
Mm-hmm.
for trying to do the right thing. So you have not filed a petition to relocate yet, correct?
I have, sir, yes.
Okay. And so now you're waiting the 60 days. She only has, did you get her served with it?
No, she's on the run with two active warrants. One is a failure to pay child support. The other is a violation of probation for a contempt of court charge.
Nice. Great.
So this guy.
That's helpful to you, actually. Very helpful. So
this guy's got, you know, the dream job there. The boss doesn't want to hear about his personal problems.
But I can solve that problem for him right now. So you already got it filed. You're going to have to get substitute service by publication or whatever. So there's a technical way you're going to have to do that. You're going to have a lawyer help you with it. But in the meantime, there's a way to file for a temporary order where the judge gives you temporary permission to be there until the hearing of this case. And that way you're covered on both ends. Okay?
Okay. Yes, sir.
So give me a call at the office, 239-ASK-MIKE, and I'll tell you more about how to get that done.
All right.
Okay, I have supposed to have a call coming in tomorrow, I think. I did call the office, but I spoke to a woman there. So,
well, good job for you. You're doing right by yourself,
yeah.
By your kids.
Kids, yeah.
You're doing everything right.
Yeah, so if you might be on the call list tomorrow, but that's all right. Call in the morning at 9 o'clock and tell the receptionist you spoke with me on the radio and to get through to me, and she'll get you through to me.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Good job. You know what? Good job.
Yeah. And the listening audience gets priority. When I said that to him, okay, he called in. He was treated as somebody who was just calling in, and he was put in a queue. If you're the listening audience, you call me, and I go put them at the head of the line.
If Mike Chopless is on the air and he tells you to call in, he knows about it, and he's going to get you through. Jesse, we're going to get to you in just a second on line one. I want to get this Absolute Law text line question out. This is for Mike Chinopoulos. My previous job gave me a promotion, and it required a move to another state. They gave me relocation expenses into five figures that was added to my paycheck and taxed accordingly. I moved to a new state, and 6 months later, we parted ways. They are asking me to repay the relocation money. Is there a way to fight this? There was an agreement signed that I would stay in the position for 2 years. It was not my decision to leave the company. Thank you for any feedback or information you can give me.
Well, what your rights are will wholly depend upon that written agreement. Yeah, they usually say, okay, you're going to stay at least 2 years. And then oftentimes, but not every time, they say, and to the extent you stay less than 2 years, you pay back a prorated portion of the moving. So at the end of the 2 years, you don't pay any back if you leave. If you leave after a year, then you pay back 50% of it, et cetera. That's usually what they say. I don't know what yours says. And so I also don't know what it says about termination with or without cause, which is usually addressed in those contracts.
It just seems to me, and again, it's common sense, which probably has no place in the conversation. But if they are enticing him to leave where he has a residence and paying him to move there, and after 6 months, they have buyer's remorse.
Yeah, like he said, it was not his decision.
Well, it might not have been his decision because he got terminated for cause, guys. We don't know, right? And I hope not, but that's why call me so we can talk about it.
Even so, it doesn't seem right where you now he's stranded in a city he doesn't know, and he's got to get back home now.
All right, let's flip that coin around, though. Let me play devil's advocate and be the employer. I don't want to shell out all this money for somebody to move up there and decide 2 months later they don't like it and leave, and I'm out all that money.
But he didn't.
But you don't know what he did while
he was
there that they terminated it.
And that's why we need to read the contract.
That's why you need to find out if it was for cause.
Right.
All right. He could have been doing something we don't know that was like, all right, that's it. You're out of here. Here's Jesse, line one.
I just think that money should be off the table.
I do, too. But you know what? It's never fair, Haney.
Jesse, you're on with Mike.
Yeah, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Jesse, what do you got for us today?
Back in 2001, I was convicted of trafficking and issued a $50,000 fine. And I had a question about the fine. I was always scared to put my home in my name. And I was wondering, what is the laws on that? Can they lien my home or... If I was to put it in my name, would they put a lien against it? Or if I ever went to sell it, could they seize any funds?
You know, I don't do enough of that kind of work where I feel like I can give you an absolute answer, but I'll tell you the general answer is all going to be connected to the homestead question here in Florida. So when you apply for homestead...
It's a pretty strong law, isn't it?
It is, and it's great. But when you apply for homestead, it doesn't go into effect until the following January 1st or whatever. Okay, so there's a lag time in there where you're not protected by homestead, and the creditors can attach liens if they have judgments. Okay,
ooh.
So you got to think about that, number one, just from a common sense standpoint. The other thing is, I know there are exceptions for ad valorem taxes, but I don't know if there's an exception for a fine like that. So that would have to be something that would have to be researched.
All right.
Okay.
There you go, buddy. Let's try to squeeze in one more phone call here. Donald on line two. Donald, you're on with Mike Chinopoulos.
Mike.
Hey, Donald, what do you got for us today?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, my God, you got my call. Well, hey, I was arrested a couple of months ago for a domestic dispute battery, and I went to court three times today, in fact, and now I'm being, I guess, pursued by the state of attorney. I was just wondering.
Does he want to talk about this on the air?
Yeah. What we need to do is, that's probably not a discussion we want to have on the air. Give me a call off the air, 239, ask Mike. Just talk to whoever answers the phone. Tell them you need a phone consultation with me, and I'll give you a free phone consultation and tell you what I think. But
all
then
right.
You can tell me everything that you want to tell me.
Yeah.
Lay low.
Yeah, lay low. Don't talk.
Yeah, until then, don't talk to anybody else.
All right.
All right.
We got about 2 minutes left. I want to do a couple of rapid-fire texts that came by, basic questions. You, being that you love the water and you're on your boat
all the
time, got a call or a text on the Absolute Law text line. Mike, I got caught with an illegal-sized snook. What could I be facing?
Well, you're going to hell. Yeah. We know that.
No, there are very specific and stringent guidelines, and FWC enforces them through the circuit courts in the state of Florida. So I'd have to look up the exact fine, but it's going to be something hefty.
Okay. One more rapid fire one, and it's basic, Mike, and I know everything's different, but this person wants to know, how much does it cost to file for divorce? It is a mutual split, so I'm hoping for the best.
Well, I'm going to answer your question as asked. How much did it cost to file for divorce? The filing fee is $408. However, I don't think that was really your question. You wanted something bigger than that. How much does it cost to get everything done? If you need the help of a lawyer, I would expect to pay between $1,500 and $2,500, depending, and that would include the filing fee and everything.
Right.
All right, for a non-contested divorce. Truly non-contested, it'd be at the lower end, but it'll be done right, and it won't come back to bite you, and you won't have tax issues and all that. You can do it yourself. Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah. He's Mike Chinopoulos. You're here every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
But, like so many of our callers, we can get you anytime.
Anytime. 239, ask Mike. Press 6 outside of business hours. It comes to me no matter where I am.
And that is the truth. Mike Chinopoulos, Absolute Law, 239, ask Mike. Mike, once again, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
Next on Locked Up Abroad. Two unwitting men sign a shady employment contract with a mysterious man known as Beasley. Two decades later, they're still living with the consequences. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Stan's Name That Movie in about 30 minutes. James Earl Jones. And, K-Rock's welcoming somebody else. K-Rock welcomes Disturbed. That means Stan and Haney welcome Disturbed. With special guest in this moment. It's going to happen Thursday, September 19th, 7:30 p.m. at Hertz Arena. Keep listening for ticket giveaways coming up. We're not doing it just yet, but you'll get your chance to go see Disturbed. So there you go. Let's get you updated on traffic for your
How
drive
come
home.
There's not a band that's like called Well Adjusted? I'd like to go see them.
I'll bet you somewhere in the world there's a band called Well Adjusted. We just don't know about them.
Well,
they're a local band that plays Saturday night somewhere in some state.
Like one of my favorite bands of all time that never made it, Night Train from Louisa, Kentucky.
Yep. Think about this for a second, because, you know, we lived over on the other coast for a good chunk of our lives. And each town that you live in that has any kind of entertainment scene has their local bands that have a good reputation. They do the more popular clubs around. Maybe they have a steady gig at one of them. And people, for all locals, know them why don't you guys go and put out an album? It's no matter what town you go to, you've got those bands that are the solid rock of that area.
And you know, one of my proudest moments in radio was introducing Southwest Florida to Dave Feaster and the Groove Monsters. And
because we used to listen to them over at Mr. Bill's in Canaveral, and they were spectacular.
And I am so glad that you were there for one of the highlights of my life when I got up and jammed with Feaster.
Yep. And
and the band's looking at me. They don't know. Dave kind of knew, but he calls me up on stage. And we start playing, and the band's like, oh, holy crap, he knows the song.
Yep. And you knew him for a long time. And over in Canaveral, they're legends, or were legends.
Well, we can't go too deep into that story, no. But a legitimate rock star.
Yep.
Open for the Stones at one point.
Let's get you updated on traffic. Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
All right, a couple of things on the board. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. The 4,000 block of Orange River Boulevard. And in Bonita Springs, crash. Imperial Parkway and Bonita Beach Road Southeast. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. In case you didn't know it, he is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's about ready to deliver the headlines for you right now.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you didn't know.
Okay.
McDonald's always seems to be up to something.
They sure are.
We will explain why on the news. But on Thursday only, between 2 and 5 p.m., you can purchase items at McDonald's using any foreign currency.
Gee, okay, count me in. I got a lot of leftover coinage.
All right, well, I'll tell you what it is and what you need to do.
Right.
You know, and if there's one thing this show is known for...
Oh, since the very beginning.
It's keeping you up to date on the latest in men's fashion.
Yup.
And if you're wondering what the hot summer fashion trends for men are, we have the answer.
What? What?
You want me to tell you now or later?
Tell me later, in all less right. than an hour.
Cops looking for a twerking shoplifter over Pembroke Pines Way.
Ah, okay.
Dateline Vero Beach, Florida. A woman denies that bag of Molly is hers as it falls out of her lady parts. And finally... New York City.
New York City.
A man is robbed by his small-penised grinder date, but can't yell for help because of the ball gag.
Oh, come on!
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Thank you, Mark. Looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to a little laughter, okay? Okay.
It's not too much to ask.
Yeah. It's 4 o'clock fluffer time, brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
President Trump began his UK trip yesterday. Let's find out what's happened so far with today's list of the
top
things overheard during Trump's UK visit.
Top things overheard during Trump's UK visit.
It's very very lovely here. Do you have a dragon like the Queen on Game of Thrones? Yes, Melania, perhaps you could pick up some tips on maintaining youthful-looking skin from Camilla.
What a mess she is.
I believe I may have started an international incident by mistaking Mr. Mnuchin for Mr. Bean.
Laugh it up.
Eric wants to know when he can catch the train to Hogwarts. So, Harry and William, who do you plan to marry for your next two wives? Thank God America's not ready for a queen, or I'd have my hands full with that Mayor Pete. You know, I saw that Stonehenge. That's prime real estate, you know. Yeah. You could put an office tower there.
18 holes.
Oh, that's funny. Beefeater was my nickname for Stormy Daniels. Blah, blah, blah. Hurry it up, Queenie. I got a tea time.
Laugh it up.
Thank you, no. We are not interested in putting a casino in Buckingham Palace. And finally, the very top thing overheard during Trump's UK visit.
Yes.
We tried our best, President Trump, but it seems Benny Hill has been dead for 30 years. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Albert has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email time. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
This is nice to hear. Hi, my favorite radio personalities.
Hi, listener.
Paul Yazbik. Here, working in the boonies of Kentucky, building a luxury cottage on the Cumberland while I am here.
Is that Amy's brother?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here stuck listening to country music. Not
what
really.
What kind of music, Stan?
Country music. Not really all that bad. The old stuff. But I heard a song that summed up Dave the Waterman perfectly. If you have a chance, give it a listen. It's by Charlie Richard, and it's called Rollin' with the Flow. I stream you guys whenever I can. Always great to hear you guys. Thanks again. Signed, Paul. Thank you,
Paul. Did you say Charlie Richard? I think he means Charlie Rich.
I think
Rich.
It's Charlie. It's got to be Charlie Rich, the Silver Fox. Is this it? Oh, I like it already.
Oh, there we go.
Once was a thought inside my head. Before I reached 30, I'd be dead. But somehow on and on I go. I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that I would change my mind. Straighten up and do just fine.
The Silver Fox.
But I still love rock and roll. I keep on rolling with the flow.
Right on.
While guys my age are raising kids, I'm raising hell just like I did. I've got a lot of crazy friends. Sin.
Yeah, every time.
Some might be calling me a bum.
Yep.
But I'm still out there having fun.
fun.
Always have.
And Jesus loves me, yes I know.
Yes, sir.
He's watching over you.
Rolling with the flow.
Love you, Waterman.
And we love Charlie Rich, too. People don't realize what a big star he was in the early 70s. let's see. Ladies and gentlemen, we finally are able to...
reestablish contact.
Contact. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
And he has a few comments about yesterday's fiasco. Ahoy, gentlemen. Well, it looks like Mueller has been caught altering one of Trump's lawyer conversations.
Red-handed.
Yep. Can't wait for all this to come out, and they are all punished. So, Stan, my new name for Dave is going to be Gilligan. Just need to get him that funny hat. Personally, he fits the inept TV character. You should have.
Oh, you're Gilligan, you're Gomer Pyle, you're Barney Fife.
Yep, all of them. You should have used his useless ass as bait.
Oh, come on, Guardian.
You know that the only reason you got to go was because you forced his hand. You realize that. He's a complete buffoon. Stan, I have wondered at times why Dave was not more involved in what I think you guys call running the board.
I can tell you exactly why. Because Stan likes it.
I do like it. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. Here, and I won't even finish this. Dave has seen... for about 17, 18 years, how our producers run the show, how I work the board, how things have a little flow to them.
He's seen on my end how to work this equipment.
We can have people learn that fairly quickly.
I think people would be surprised. There's a lot more moving parts than people may think.
There are a lot of moving parts, but he still can't do any of them.
No.
Dave, we need you to cover this. Oh. 17, 18 years. Sorry about that.
Dave, we need you to print an email.
Yeah. Can't even print it. I'm not going to. But after yesterday. Oh, let's go. I got to rewind back a little bit here. A stand rewind. I often wonder why Dave was not more involved in what you guys call running the board. But after yesterday's Dave failure, I see why. Man, that was listening to a monkey effing a doorknob. How inept is he that he can't figure out how to print an email?
The Guardian's very upset because it was his email being printed.
Yeah, I would be too. I don't care if it was mine. Or someone else's. Dave, you're lucky to have a damn job. You guys are the best, signed The Guardian.
Jesus.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. Going to give you a chance to win with Stan's Name That Movie, James Earl Jones Films. We've got Babacusaw, Pewter Mug, SeaWorld, Alice Cooper, our buddy Brian Kilmeade coming to Bonita. We've got the Southwest Florida Space Con, Bam's Restaurant, Subway, Sunshine Ace Hardware. You could pick something up if you know the movie. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Every once in a while, We get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is, well, unairable. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney.
If I had to guess, Stan, I'd say it was a tube worm.
That would be my guess. Yeah, tube worm.
We get hooked so easy. Anytime they got a picture of something and they go, nobody knows what this is, we immediately go to it and pronounce our judgment.
Yeah, tube worm.
Something washed up on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and the National Park Service is asking the public for help in identifying it. They don't know what it
worm.
Is.
It's a tube worm.
Now, the spiny object appears worm-like with a tight crust of ivory-colored thorns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's common in a tube worm.
Yeah, it looks like a tube worm to me. Hell, what's all the noise about it? Anybody can see that's a damn tube worm.
You do that, it opens it up to everybody that thinks they know what it is.
I'm telling you right now, you take this picture, you print it out, you take it to the bar tonight, everybody will know what it is.
Yep, and everybody will say something different.
And then, once you're done showing that picture around the bar, then repost it and show how it now looks like a watercolor painting.
Let's get you.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
Exactly what you're talking about. Let's get you updated on traffic, then we'll play Stan's name.
Damn tube worm.
What it is. James Earl Jones today.
That's a cucumber mollusk.
Yup. Yup. Anybody know that? What are you, an idiot?
Anybody with eyes?
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Jet's Pizza bringing us traffic. Road Watcher, and got this from our friends at Fox 4 as well. Day two, another vehicle fire on the alley. This is at mile marker 54, southbound. They have opened one lane now, so traffic is starting to move, but it's backed up. I just saw the pictures.
Well, why the hell are people setting the cars on fire?
I don't understand that.
Got no sense.
Yep. You know, you can't go nowhere if your car's on fire.
Jeez. Mary and Joseph.
Crash. Bokelia. The 8400 block of Main Street by Captain Cons. And you are up to
don't
date.
These people know you shouldn't order to have your car on fire? Jeez, man. How you get through life like that?
Can't figure it out. You ought not to let your car catch on fire.
Something you shouldn't ought to do.
Stan's name that movie, James Earl Jones Films. We've got five of them. Your job is to be the first person to correctly name the movie.
Are you even going to bother to do your disclaimer?
No, I'm not, because it is going to go. There's nothing about Darth Vader in any of these.
Not a one.
Not a one. if you answer correctly, first person to answer correctly of the movie, you can choose Stan and Haney Babaku Saw. Maybe $50 to the Pewter Mug North. Would you like to go to SeaWorld? We've got tickets as SeaWorld is celebrating Sesame Street Land, now open. Maybe you'd like to see Alice Cooper in concert at the Barber B Man, Sunday, November 3rd. Our buddy Brian Kilmeade from Fox News, brilliant man, going to be speaking at the Southwest Florida Event Center on July 19th. We have tickets if you'd like to go. Comic Con, Space Con, Superhero Con. They have the Southwest Florida Space Con happening at the Araba Shrine Event Center on Saturday, this Saturday. We have tickets if you want to go. You know, your kids would love it. Bam's Restaurant in Naples. Subway gift card for $20 and $25 to Sunshine Ace Hardware. Those are the prizes. James Earl Jones Films. Phones are on lockdown until I complete the first movie clip, then I'll take your calls. Name this James Earl Jones film.
You know what you think about when you're lying here. You know you're going to die. And you think, that's all right. You lived a long time. You had a family that loved you. You had a job that you thought made a difference, that you thought was honorable. And then you see this. I'm afraid if I dig any deeper, no one's gonna like what I find. You took an oath. If you recall, when you first came to work for me, and I don't mean to the National Security Advisor of the United States, I mean to his boss, and I don't mean the president. He gave you word to his boss. He gave you word to the people of the United States. Your word is who you are.
Name the movie. Phone lines are open, 277-9600. First person to correctly identify the film will get a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
Amy.
Amy, can you name it?
The Fugitive?
No, not The Fugitive. I don't know that James Earl Jones was in The Fugitive, was he?
Nah, he was in Star Wars,
yeah,
though.
He was in Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
Revenge of the Sith. I don't know. Ahoy, who's this?
Jeff from Cape Coral.
Jeff, name the movie.
Star Wars.
Nope. Ah. See what you made me do?
Yep.
See what? I wasn't going to even mention it.
But you did. It's too late.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, gentlemen. This is Randy.
Randy, can you name it?
Would that be Clear and Present Danger?
It is Clear and Present Danger. With Harrison Ford, by the way, in that movie.
And William Dafoe.
Yep. What would you like?
What do you got to eat?
I've got Subway. I've got Bam's Restaurant. I've got Pewter Mug.
Let me try the Bam's Restaurant.
You'll like it. Hold on. All right. James Earl Jones, movie clip number two. Your job is to identify this film featuring James Earl Jones. Name it.
You may enter. You are not Akeem.
I know that.
What is this?
A photograph.
What is this? McDowell's.
It's a place over on Queens Boulevard. I think he works there.
My son works? What is it now?
I don't know. He moved downstairs. Apartment 1A.
Your Majesty, what are you doing here?
I received your telegram. What is Akeem?
He went out. So how was your flight? Comfortable, I trust?
Your only job was to look after Akeem. How could you let him come to such a pass?
Akeem will not listen to me. He's gone quite mad, Your Majesty.
Semi, you have disgraced yourself, and you must be punished. You will confine yourself to our royal suite at the Waldorf Astoria. And see that he puts on some decent attire. And I want you to bathe him thoroughly.
Oh, thank you, Your Majesty.
Name the movie, 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy, who's this?
Fern.
Fern, what is it?
That's Coming to America.
It is Coming to America. Arsenio Hall, Eddie Murphy vehicle with James Earl Jones in it. What would you like?
What do you have for to-go places?
I have SeaWorld. Would you like to go to SeaWorld?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. You got kids to take to Sesame Street Land?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
They're dying to go.
All right. Hold on. Hold on. We'll set it up for you. Hold on.
What do you mean? You want her for sex? Huh. I just assumed everyone had sex with their bathers.
They were hot.
Yeah.
Movie clip number three, featuring the films of James Earl Jones. Name this movie.
Here. I'll trade you.
That's really nice of you, but that ball really is signed by Babe Ruth.
So is this one, with the rest of the 1927 Yankees.
Man. Reverse row. Lou Gehrig. Babe Ruth! But why would you trade? That one's all chewed up.
I got a lot of good stuff. Look at that stuff. Besides, you needed more than I do. George? I sure did. And he knew me. He was almost as great a hitter as I was. I would have broken his record, too, but...
You went blind.
Yep. I used to crowd the plate so the strike zone almost disappeared. Pitchers hate that. That's the way I played. 100% all the time. Baseball was life. And I was good at it. Real good. And then, one day, a high fast one and pow, the lights went out.
I don't think we could take this ball.
I'll tell you what. You guys come by here once a week and talk baseball with me. We'll call it an even trade.
Deal.
Deal. Name the movie. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Anthony. How are you?
Anthony, what's the movie?
Oh, could you play it one more time real quick?
No, I can't. Jeez.
Oh, boy.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Todd.
Todd, name it.
Lucky Ball?
Just throwing at the wall, are you?
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Matt from Bonita.
Matt, can you do it?
Sandlot.
It is. Sandlot. Absolutely. What would you like?
Peter Moog?
Yeah, sure. Hold on.
Finally,
simple as that.
One of the sane ones got through.
Absolute Law text line. What do you guys know about funny, you bastards?
Yeah, we've forgotten more about funny than you'll ever know.
Yeah.
We've forgotten a lot.
Yep. We've a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've forgotten
I don't
a whole
recall.
Lot. No. Here you go, movie clip number four. James Earl Jones. Name it.
I'm sorry, Ray. We got no choice.
Ray. People will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door, as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have and peace they like.
Ray. Just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines. Where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they'd dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Name the movie. James Earl Jones. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jeff from Chuckalusky.
Jeff from Chuckalusky. How are you, buddy?
fantastic. I've had every one, but I can't figure this one out.
Are you kidding?
Oh, man.
The easiest
These
one.
Get easier as they go along. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Steve from Fort Myers.
Steve, can you name the movie?
Feel the Dream.
I'm sorry, that's Revenge of the Ewoks. No, you got it. You got it. What would you like?
How about Subway?
You got it. Subway. Hold on. All right, one more. And as Haney said over this last one, that was the easiest one. And it was. Until this one.
I'm very disappointed in you.
I know.
You could have been killed. You deliberately disobeyed me. And what's worse, you put Nala in danger.
I was just trying to be brave like you.
I'm only brave when I have to be. Being brave doesn't mean you go looking for trouble.
But you're not scared of anything.
I was today.
You were?
Yes. I thought I might lose you.
I guess even kings get scared, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
What?
I think those hyenas were even scarier.
'Cause nobody messes with your dad. Come here, Hugh.
Oh, no! Come here. We're pals, right?
Right.
And we'll always be together, right?
Let me tell you something that my father told me. Look at the stars. The great kings of the past looked down on us from those stars.
Really?
Yes. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I.
Ah, that's beautiful. What's that movie, huh? Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Chris from Cape Coral.
Chris from Cape Coral, what's the movie?
Summersby.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, this is Rick.
Rick, name it.
The Lion King.
It is The Lion King. Mufasa right there with James Earl Jones. What would you like?
I apologize. I just got in the truck with my daughter picking her up from camp.
Let's see. I got Alice Cooper. I got Brian Kilmeade. I've got the Southwest Florida Space Con. I've got Bam's Restaurant, Subway, Sunshine Ace Hardware, Pewter Mug.
Bam. Let me get Bam's, please.
You got it. Hold on. Nice job. Haney, outro, please. Yeah.
King or beast with quite so little hair.
I'm gonna be the main event like a king was before. I'm brushing up or looking down. I'm working on my
roar. Thus far, rather an inspiring theme.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
Southwest Florida, we're always here to help. But unfortunately, there's actually very little we can do. Sorry, just try not to focus on the pain.
Stan and Haney
on 96 K-Rock.
Hey everybody, it's Stan and Haney. Mark Haney in the news coming up here in just a second. Rob Show at 6 o'clock. He'll take you through your evening. I am looking at this. Well, did you see, Haney, what Naples Nissan is doing? I don't think I've seen anything like this.
If it's Aaron Walker,
he's done it again.
Anything's possible.
Look, let me ask you a question. How much do you owe on your current car loan? Aaron Walker and gang over at Naples Nissan, they'll lower it right off the bat by $8,000.
Well, that's awfully nice of them. How? I don't. That's no way to run a business.
Say you own. You got your car.
How can they do? They're just. What?
Say you owe like $14,000 still on the old car that you're driving. Oh, yeah. I can't trade it in now. I still owe $14,000 on it. Aaron Walker is going to go and take $8,000 off of that so you,
like
can
I
get,
said, that,
so you can get the new Nissan you want.
That's very nice of him, but has he had a stroke? Is Chad going to stop him from doing this? I mean,
choose from over 600 how, new Nissan
how long
models.
Could he actually do that no, for?
Just think about it.
If everybody in Southwest Florida goes into Naples Nissan and says, take $8,000 off my loan, I don't think there's going to be a Naples Nissan.
He's going to do it. And he also says, show me a 580 credit score or higher, and you could be driving a new Nissan home today.
Is
$8,000 off whatever your car loan is. Oh, I can't. I'm upside down on the thing. Don't worry. Aaron Walker and Naples Nissan going to take $8,000 off of that.
Boom. Has he had a medical checkup recently?
No. Come see the gang over at Naples Nissan, Pine Ridge Road, exit 107 off of I-75. And
I need
let
to,
Aaron
I,
reduce no, your car loan by $8,000.
I need to call him.
It's Naples Nissan.
You know, that's very nice of you. But you got to take a
I
look
at that.
I had
to go and do a double take on that. I said, what, $8,000 right off?
I don't know. How do you make money doing that?
I don't know. Volume. I don't know. Let's get you updated on traffic.
You know, I'd like to keep him as a sponsor.
Yep. You know, I read it. I said, that's crazy talk right there. Let's go. Traffic brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Don't take advantage of Aaron's niceness.
Just one thing on the board this half hour. Hit and Run, Bonita Springs, South Tamiami Trail, and Bonita Beach Road Southwest, right by the Walgreens. And you are up to date. One more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
Direct from our newsroom in color, this is the Evening News with Russ Hodge in Memphis, Tennessee, Dan Rather in New York, Bernard Kalb in Saigon, Marvin Kalb in Wellington, New Zealand, and Bert Quint in Quezon, South Vietnam.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, June 4th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Before we get to things you didn't know, we have some actual news.
All right.
We all remember the tragedy, the shooting at Parkland.
Yeah.
And you may recall that the reaction of law enforcement, specifically the school resource officer, was called into question.
Yep.
That school resource officer, Broward Deputy Scott Peterson, who has acquired the unfortunate nickname, the Coward of Broward.
Yeah.
Has been arrested.
What?
Peterson faces 7 counts of neglect of a child, 3 counts of culpable negligence, and 1 count of perjury, according to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. He was booked into the Broward County main jail and is looking at up to 97 years in state prison if convicted. His bond was reportedly set at $102,000.
Man. That's going, that's... Well.
So this is after a full FDLE investigation. Quote, the FDLE investigation shows former Deputy Peterson did absolutely nothing to mitigate the shooting that killed 17 children teachers and staff, and injured 17 others, this commissioner of the FDLE. There can be no excuse for his complete inaction, and no question that his inaction cost lives.
Yeah. Well, he's getting his. DeSantis wanted after him, too.
Broward's new sheriff, Gregory Tony, added that Peterson's actions warranted termination of employment and criminal charges.
Yeah.
According to the FDLE, in addition to his inaction, it's even worse. Something that we didn't know. According to the FDLE's report, Peterson not only personally didn't intervene in the shooting, refused to investigate the source of the gunshots, and retreated while victims were being shot. Peterson also told arriving law enforcement, who were just rolling up on the scene, on Peterson's authority, he commanded them to remain 500 feet from the building.
What's your job?
So not only did he do nothing, he prevented first responders from going in.
I know Governor DeSantis wanted something done about that guy.
Yeah.
Good.
So he was arrested today. He resigned long before he could be fired.
Yeah, he did.
Time now for things you didn't know. We all know the Heisman Trophy.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
What's his name? John Heisman.
You are correct.
Wasn't he a football player?
The Heisman Trophy is named after a football coach from the early 1900s named John Heisman. What was his big contribution to the game of football?
I don't know. I really don't know. They have a nice pose of him.
His biggest contribution was the idea for having the center actually snap the ball.
Right. The key word there, hike.
Prior to that, the center would just put the ball on the ground.
Jeez.
You know, what if? Call me crazy here, Stan.
Yeah.
But what if instead of the center putting the ball on the ground, what if he hiked the ball?
That would change the game completely. Because last time I checked, we're playing rugby.
You could say you could hike it. You could snap it. That opens up all kinds of stuff for the future.
Yep.
Like the shotgun.
Wow.
Now, of course, we're not going to go crazy with that now because that's insane.
It's talking nuts.
Because that would involve passing the ball. And we're not there yet.
No.
It'll take years to get to that point.
It's true.
We would. If we went back in time right now and watched football being played in 1900, you guys are a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, what's wrong with you people?
Throw the ball. Well, that's illegal. That's poor sportsmanship right there.
No, I've heard of a lateral, but that would be something called what? A forward pass?
A forward pass. Okay. All right, we'll try it. Hey, hold on. At DB's mugging the guy. Well, that's football. He choked him. That's the way the game's played. Hard nosed. Yep.
The old gridiron.
McDonald's is doing something odd this Thursday. And to be clear, it's Thursday only between 2 and 5 p.m. You can purchase items at McDonald's using any foreign currency.
Well, we're working. I can't do it.
So you can dig out those pesos from your Mexican kidnapping.
Yeah.
They are bringing 4 international food items to the menu this week.
Oh, really? Let me see if I'll eat any of them.
A bacon Gouda burger from Spain.
No.
A tomato mozzarella chicken sandwich from Canada.
No.
Bacon cheese fries from Australia.
Maybe.
And a caramel waffle McFlurry from the Netherlands.
Oh, you got that. I'll be ordering that. You betcha.
And on Thursday, between 2 and 5 p.m., you can buy any of those items at McDonald's with any foreign currency. It doesn't matter what country or how much you've got. Like, let's say you've got one Indonesian rupiah, which is barely worth a fraction of a penny. You can trade it in for one of those items.
All right.
You know, if there's one thing this show is known for.
Oh, you damn right.
From the very beginning.
Yep.
It is keeping you up to date on all the hot summer fashion trends for men.
For men. You've seen pictures of us. You know we're a cutting edge.
And if you're wondering, what's this summer's hottest fashion trend for men?
Yeah, I want to know.
Well, it's pretty simple.
What?
Crop tops and tube tops.
Oh, stop it. Stop. What? What?
And to be clear, these crop tops aren't like back in the 80s when the coolest dudes wore cut-off t-shirts. No, they're tight and form-fitting.
That is a guy, right?
What? No, that's the NCAA Hurdles Women's Champion. Isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
I think her name's Cece.
Oh, in her right mind, but never mind. It's ma'am.
If you're interested, crop tops and tube tops should cost you about $19.
$19!
Oh, look at that winner there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Boy, what a fashion plate.
Yeah, you got to be kidding me.
I wish I were.
No.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
The Diamond District sells more diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida. Therefore, they buy more diamonds than any other jeweler as well. This season has been extremely successful for Jason and Todd, and they're currently buying diamonds at a rapid pace to replace inventory. If you've ever thought of selling your diamonds or trading in on something new, now is the perfect time to visit the Diamond District in Estero at Coconut Point. Diamonds and jewelry can be rare pieces and command very high prices when evaluated by experienced and qualified professionals. The Diamond District has several GIA graduate gemologists and buyers on staff every day to help identify your treasures. The Diamond District has the largest selection of Forevermark and GIA loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find online. Your diamonds and jewelry could be worth lots of money and should be evaluated by an expert. Visit Jason and Todd and discover why more people choose the Diamond District when selling or trading their diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. Police in Pembroke Pines are asking for your help in locating a woman who shoplifted more than $300 worth of clothing from a store back in April. As she grabbed clothes off the shelves and shoved them into her bag, she managed to twerk the entire time. You can see from the surveillance videos some serious dancing going on in a bright yellow pant as she stole. Police are trying to track her down. They're also looking for her friend, who also shoplifted with her, but didn't do any dancing. What the?
Please. This. Jeez.
God.
Jeez.
Who what? Wants to
Look
see
at
that?
This.
Nobody
Look
wants
at this.
That. What are you doing?
That's enough. That's turning my stomach.
She knew exactly where the camera was.
Of course she did. Look at her.
And put on a show for him.
What a mess.
She She doesn't give a rat's ass. She knows they're watching her, and she's stealing in front of them.
If I was the store manager and she was doing that on the cameras and I was in the store, I'd turn away. I can't look at that mess. And that's when she would steal.
Brilliant.
Did you see, very quickly, it was in today's, I believe I saw it on the Wink News site or the NBC2 site. They're looking for a woman, I think in Cape Coral. And trust me, this is a crime, and they're out to find her. How many times have you gone to the Walmart, and maybe you're honest, maybe you're not honest, but the cashier is a little confused, and they give you back too much money, and you don't say anything, or somebody leaves their change behind, you don't say anything, oh, hey, I get a few bucks out of this. There was a woman holding a baby. They're looking for her. Went to one of the automatic checkout things. Mm-hmm. Was behind a guy. He checks out, gets his receipt, and then didn't see that it distributed his change from the machine. He walks out. She's behind him. She takes the change, puts it in her purse, walks out. They're now looking for her because she took the man's change and made no effort to stop him and say, sir, you forgot your change. She just put it in the purse while holding her baby and walked out with it. Now they've got her surveillance picture all over the place. They're trying to find her.
Let me give you some friendly advice. Unless you are an actual criminal and don't give a rat's ass, assume you're being watched.
Yep.
Because you probably are.
Cameras on you everywhere you go. Oh, I can get that. Get his change. That's
Nobody's around.
Nobody's around, and I can use that and take the change out of the dispenser because he didn't see it there. They got her on camera. They're trying to find her. She committed a crime.
Because what does it come down to, Stan?
What?
Don't take things that don't belong to you.
Yes. Well, that's one of the golden rules. Don't take things that don't belong to you.
It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble.
Yep, because rest assured, you may not be, like Haney said, a cold stone criminal.
Go over and bust open a register and threaten somebody.
Nope.
But if it's sitting right in front of her.
And they'll find you.
So, unless it's your intention to be a criminal, if you get tempted, just assume somebody's looking.
Yep.
Dateline, Vero Beach, Florida.
We've been there.
Police responded to a call about a disturbance on Saturday afternoon, and when they arrived at this particular residence, 34-year-old Kristen Samari was sitting in a taxi outside. You see, Kristen had a fight with her mommy. Police couldn't help but notice the white powder all over her nostrils.
Jeez.
So they politely asked her to step out of the car. And when she did, two things fell out of her short. One, a well-known feminine hygiene product. And two, a small bag of what the kids call Molly. It appears the feminine hygiene product was the only thing holding the drugs in the lady parts. As this was falling out on the street,
must have been a mother of four.
As all of this mess was falling out of her body and onto the street, she said, it isn't mine.
Yeah.
Not mine. I'm supposed to give it to somebody. That's an awfully intimate area to rat hole your friend's drugs. She was arrested on a felony drug possession charge. And all because she couldn't get along with her mommy.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, You know, Stan, you've advised me to be a bit more open-minded and non-judgmental, that everyone has a kink.
Everybody has a kink.
So I will try to set aside any personal prejudice I have and simply report the news.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now, I find it personally distasteful, and I wouldn't normally do this. But you have told me that everyone has a kink.
Everyone's got a kink.
And I should not be judgmental. There is a 26-year-old gentleman in New York City.
New York City.
And on Friday night, he met up with another gentleman using the gay dating application Grindr. The gentleman came over, and they proceeded to have a crazy night, including consensual acts involving latex and rubber gloves, various marital aids, and some sort of swing device.
Consensual.
But things took a nasty turn when the man criticized how small his date's manhood was. Now, this made the date very angry. He choked the man and put him in a closet. Now, at first, he was of the impression that this was some other sexy game.
Yeah, well, role-playing.
It became clear to him that it was no game when the other guy stole $3,000 and disappeared. The man says at that point he wanted to scream for help, but found himself unable to do so. Why?
Why?
He had a ball gag in his mouth, held in place by a jock strap, so he was unable to call for help.
Bring out the gimp.
Eventually, he was able to free himself and called the authorities. They took his gloves, toys, and swing as evidence. It's for your safety.
Yeah, sir. Yeah. Easy now.
And they're trying to track down the small penis gentleman. See? Non-judgmental.
Yeah, not, yep. Read that straight.
And that's the news for today, Tuesday.
There he is. Little Mucky Haney selling it like it
is. I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Mucky Haney selling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. What is this?
Not once did I say what I was thinking.
I know.
Not once.
What were you thinking?
Pull the ball gag out of your mouth and get the cops.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Don.
Don.
Hey, Don.
Don, what's up?
Well, I just...
Are you going to yell?
Okay.
Good. Goodbye. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
This is... Hello.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
It's Debbie in Naples.
Hi.
Hey, Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, you guys were talking about Walmart and...
Yeah, the Walmarts. It's Walmarts.
Well, I was there and I had $1.52 purchase. I put $20 in. Forgot I got my receipt, forgot to get my money. I came back an hour later and somebody gave it to customer service.
That person did not break the law.
I know.
And you won't be that careless next time, will you, Debbie?
No, I won't.
Well, Deb, it's better to be lucky than smart, isn't it?
We'll be back.
Howard Stern.
All right, well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would then send it to?
To me.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us.
Well, I wouldn't be anywhere else, would I?
Well, you got... Never mind. I'm talking to the audience. Rob Show up next. He's appreciative that you spend your evenings with him.
I am so glad that Deb got her $19 and
I am too.
50 cents back.
Oh, hell yeah.
Thank God. Dodged a bullet there, Deb.
K-Rock traffic.
Two things on the board. We'll start in North Fort Myers. Got a crash. Pine Island Road and Woodward Avenue. And then in Lehigh Acres, we have a crash being reported. South Loop Boulevard and Homestead Road North. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
God, I went shopping for jeans a couple days ago. I got to get some Generation X moron who fell off his skateboard one too many times, you know.
Would you like to try on the easy-fitting jeans?
No, bring me the most difficult pair of pants you have. Something with 13 leg holes and the zipper welded shut. And he actually talked me into buying those button fly jeans. Yeah, that's what I need after 40 beers, a dexterity test. You know? I'm walking around a nightclub with a big wet ring on my pants. Hi, how are you? I forgot the combination of my slacks. Do you have a crowbar? I gotta pee real bad. I know they mean well. They're making $2 an hour. They're folding sweaters for a living. But can you get a little more? I mean, there's always that one gay sales guy that follows you around the store too closely, you know? I come out of the fitting room. He's right in my face. He goes, how'd you do? I got 3 wrong. What do you mean, how'd I do? I'm trying on pants. I'm not taking my SATs. What do you mean? I'm going to come out with a pair of Levi's on my head. I can't work these things.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this.
Good afternoon to you. Thought I'd do that. It makes it sound like I'm in a good mood.
That was almost... like your country, Stan.
Almost country. Yeah, country music. Okay.
I am so sorry that you missed out on that part of your career.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing you didn't get to do was country. To be a country disc jockey.
Country gentleman.
Yep.
Yeah, the old Texas troubadour.
I got to do it at a fun time.
Yeah, you did.
I did it at a fun time when a little firecracker by the name of Reba McEntire was making her first record.
Oh, Miss Tanya Tucker in her prime.
Well, she wasn't in her prime even then.
Oh, was she? Now, wait a second. I want to get this straight because we had her on the way back yesterday. She actually was charting on the pop hits.
And what year was that?
This 1970, what was that, 75. Now, wait a second. She broke on to the country scene in, I want to say, the early part of the 70s as a 15-year-old little pixie, everybody's darling.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at her today, she's been ridden hard and put up wet. What year did you meet Tanya Tucker? Because she went through that whole phase, got involved with the booze and the drugs and the Glen Campbell and the wild, crazy nights and, you know, passed around and then the downfall where she's just a walking mess.
Well, in fairness to her, and boy, don't I know it, when you make it as a prodigy.
A country sweetheart?
Like I did. Because I made it at 15 as well. Yeah. You are viewed to age very rapidly.
She aged rapidly.
Because when you become famous at 15, by the time you're in your 20s, you look old compared to what people remember.
Hold on. Well, she wasn't in her 20s.
Well, when it would have been somewhere between 84 and 87.
Did she look like this?
No. But she
so
was
between 84 and 87 is when you saw her?
I never saw her.
I thought you said that she was, you know, you had a run-in with her.
I did. What happened is she was playing a show at the County Line Saloon.
1972, by the way, at the age of 13.
And I was in the same anchor chair that I would later occupy when you covered the mass shooting in Palm Bay.
Yeah.
Very same chair. We had a remote for the show at the County Line Saloon. I think they could only get like a part-timer or somebody to go out there. And so they were going to...
They did a call-in?
Well, I think we had two people out there. One of them a part-timer who was scared of the radio. And the other one was the country rich man.
Yeah.
And he liked to drink Johnny Walker, and he'd already started. And so what happened is I think he was supposed to interview Tanya Tucker. And what he ended up doing was just handing her the phone and letting her talk to me. And so from her perspective, she's standing there. This guy, country rich man, was about 6'3", sweaty, boozed up, and she's on the phone with me, and she's very flirtatious with me.
Here.
So I was not in her presence, but I ended up doing the interview with her, and she was very insistent that I could come out and see the show, and then we'd chat some more in her bus, and she was all giggly. And I go to end the interview, and she goes, "If you think I'm kidding, darling, you got another thing coming.
Yeah.
You got a sexy voice."
Yeah, but you left?
I just went home.
Didn't go down there? Yeah. For the best. She,
traffic and all.
Yeah. She's just, well, she's 60 now.
She was nothing but nice to me.
That's all you can ask for. That's, there. She's... Yeah.
That Georgia sun was blood red and going down, I'll tell you.
I gotta...
People still loved her then.
Oh, let me...
I got requests for Tanya Tucker all the time.
Without a doubt, a country legend. And she had her hit with that, Delta Dawn was her breakthrough.
Well, Helen Reddy had it, and she had the country side of it.
And then she and Glenn Campbell were an item, a volatile couple for several years. A lot of incidences at hotels and, breaking of things and
breaking
cops
of things,
and being locked out of hotel rooms and a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, when you got country hits and you're in the tabloids...
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You've got it going on.
Yeah, that's called country magic.
Is that what that's called?
No. It's country magic.
What kind of magic?
Country magic.
There we go.
All right.
I still live in Big Y country sometimes.
Big Y country.
You remember Big Y country?
I sure do.
Found out about that right before everybody got fired.
Yeah.
This...
The new regime was coming in.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.